Hello to the scattered Grandview Church community and everyone that's listening. We're glad you could join us for this Sunday service podcast for August the 23rd. I'm Joy Banks and I'm recording from my basement in Vancouver, BC on the unceded territories of the Squamish, the Musqueam, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. It's a bit of a rainy afternoon here in my basement. As I record, I'm wondering where you might be listening from, what the weather might be like, what you've been up to this week. Wherever you are listening from, though, whatever your journey has been, I know that the Spirit of Christ has been there with you. But it's easy to keep going without that awareness of God's loving presence. So I want to invite you first here to just take a moment to pause and intentionally lean into God's loving presence as you listen. In our podcast service today, we're going to be exploring a question that followers of Jesus around the globe have been exploring this year. It's an unusual time where people in many different countries are asking some similar questions, and that is, what does it mean to be the church, particularly in times like this? I wonder if you've asked that question lately. Well, the book of James, which we've been exploring in this season, is also looking at this question, believe it or not. And we're going to delve into this today. But even as we do, there's still practices that have sustained the church for centuries that we can continue on in, even in this different format. So we are going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to listen to and study God's word together. I want to invite you to join in. First off, by song. Why don't you sing or hum along if you can, as we remember that God is our stable and dependable rock.
The following prayers of the people of God are led by children from our church: Amelia H., Asher O., Asha, Luke, Micah, and Elaine, name their gratitudes to God, and ask for God to act with power for justice and mercy in the world. We begin with Amelia's naming of the things she sees around her that she is grateful for. As you listen to her thanksgivings and to the prayers of the other children, we invite you to also notice the good gifts from God that surround you. Let us pray.
A phone?
Yeah, anything else?
Trees?
Yeah, anything else?
Trails?
Yeah. What other things are you grateful for?
Wars.
Hi, my name is Asher, and I'm grateful for Samuel getting better and for our road trip. I want to pray for an end to the COVID-19.
Asha, what is something you are grateful for?
I'm grateful for coming to Parksville.
And Asha, what or who would you like to pray for?
My family.
Hi, my name is Luke, and I'm grateful for seaweed and nature. And I want to pray for the places that have war and fighting.
My name is Micah, and I'm grateful for forests and family. And I want to pray for climate change.
My name is Elaine, and I am grateful for family, friends, and the ocean. And I would like to pray for people who are affected by COVID.
We welcome you in this moment of quiet to name your prayers of gratitude and of asking God to act in the world. We offer these prayers to God, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
James 1:18-27. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, Grandview. It's Jody here. It's my privilege to take another couple of steps with you in our study of the book of James that we have embarked on together. James is an interesting book for us to lean into in this time because it's one of the earliest letters to the church. And in this time, both of transition for Grandview as a church specifically, and for the church global in the midst of this pandemic that continues to disrupt our habits of how we are church, I know that there are lots of you who are asking, what is church for anyway? Some of you don't miss certain aspects of our life together, and others of you miss aspects of our life together and wonder if those are the essential and critical aspects of our life of faith. These are important questions for us to be asking in this time. And James was, as I said, the earliest letter to a church that we have on record. And he was the pastor of a church scattered. He was the pastor of the Jerusalem church that was under intense persecution in Jerusalem, and there were internal strifes as well as external pressures on that church. And as far as we can tell, that church has dispersed around the area. Some pockets perhaps in Syria, and maybe there are other pockets. Perhaps some folks are more on their own, but the church is dispersed. And the church is figuring out what it is and what it means to be church for the very first time, to be shaped around the life of Jesus in particular. And it's written by, we believe it's written by James, the brother of Jesus, which is an interesting, just an interesting person and an interesting perspective from which this formation of church text comes. We're accustomed to many of the letters that were written by Paul, but Paul came to know Jesus after Jesus' death and resurrection, whereas James would have known Jesus all through his life. And while there isn't a lot of overt mention of Jesus, James was someone who was shaped by his relationship with Jesus. And there are these aspects of that shaping that are certainly recognizable in this letter and in his ways of being. Sometimes the more intimate we are with someone, the more their ways of thinking and being get into us, and we attribute them less to that person, but they have deeply shaped us. And I think that's the case for James. So as a church, we're asking some of these questions. As a church, James's congregation, scattered about the Middle East, is asking these questions. What does it mean to be church in this time and in this way? What does it mean to be church? Why be church in the midst of the pressures externally and internally that are causing lots of strife and difficulty? And that's one question to ask inside of the faith. But I've been struck as well by these questions being raised as well by folks outside of the Christian faith. At the beginning of the pandemic, I had a conversation with a neighbor of mine who started off the conversation saying, "You know, I'm not a religious person, but..." And proceeded to name how the disorientation caused by the restrictions of movement and the larger disruptions and questions emerging out of the pandemic were impacting her. And she named a longing for certainty that she'd never known or acknowledged before. It made me think of that story that Jesus told about the wise man versus the foolish man, right? The wise man built his house upon a rock. Foolish man built his house on the sand. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. And the house on the rock stood firm. What does it mean for us to place our lives, individually and collectively, on the rock versus on the sand? That is the longing of my neighbor, the conversation she wanted to have. How do I find that solid foundation space in my own life? But even for us as people of faith and as a church community, I think our houses are built on both sand and rock. Right? We aren't fully on the foundation of rock, which is why we need the encouragement to seek wisdom, to be wise and not foolish in how we live out the convictions of our faith. Tim Keller, who's a preacher in New York City, had this beautiful image that quite resonated with me, where he asked how it is that we learn to shift our house from sand to rock. That process of when wisdom comes and it's been revealed that the foundation of my house is on sand, how do I then shift it a little bit further on the stability of the rock? He would describe then James's use of the word perseverance as being that task of when wisdom reveals the instability, that perseverance then helps us to shift our foundation a little more away from the sand and a little more solidly on the rock. What's that journey like for you? I wonder what the markers of transformation in our lives, both individually and collectively, are. How are we being invited not to be hearers only of the word, who come and passively consume a religious experience? But how are we being transformed, individually and collectively, into the likeness of Christ? Offering room to our neighbor on the solid rock, bearing witness to the pieces of solidity that I have experienced and can offer to another. And when life's storms make the experience of my neighbor and my experience of shifting sand untenable, how do we learn to persevere in such trials? To shift our house from sand to rock. To not offer a hand to our neighbor to do the same.
Where she is. Hello, Grandview. These are your community announcements. First, in arts, Kezia, Teak, and Ro have been listening to the Breadwinner audiobook series and have had lots of great conversations about some hard things in the world. Speaking of hard, in the world of sports, Ben Wild Thing Halton, in his last Little League season for Trout Lake, was exceedingly hard on opposing hitters. I believe we have a clip of one of his strikeouts. Am I looking at this one now? Or... We look forward to the day when his jersey is hanging in the rafters of the Staples Center alongside all those other Laker greats through the decades. Speaking of Trout Lake, we're having another go at an outdoor service on August 30th. Please check your email and the website to make sure that you are signed up ahead of time. Come prepared with your favorite face mask and maybe just an extra in case Ben is giving out autographs. Speaking of preparation, Meshach and Cecilia are preparing to welcome a new sibling. Meshach particularly misses his days of diaper changing. Speaking of missing things, Sahel, Serena's mom, wants to send her love and happiness to all the community that she really misses. She hopes to see everyone soon, hopefully at a proper distance and not all at once. On a more Jake-centric note, Jenny and I are celebrating our first wedding anniversary Monday. I look forward to seeing none of you on that day, but hopefully soon after. Speaking of undying romantic love, Annika and Andrew are now engaged. Congratulations. These have been your community announcements.
Remember that crazy time in our weekly gathered worship where we would walk around and offer each other the peace of Christ? There's always those awkward moments where you wondered if you should shake a hand or give a hug or how you introduce yourself to the person who you've never seen before. But there's also always a beauty in that. It's a reminder to us that we are not on this journey of following Christ alone, that we have companions on the journey. And it's also a symbolic gesture where we remind each other that this, the grace of Christ that also ties us together and helps us to journey together with all of our diversity. We can't hug each other or shake each other's hands or even look at the back of each other's heads as we worship these days, but we can still offer that blessing to one another. So I want to invite you as you get off here after Jody gives us our blessing to contact someone and let them know you've been thinking about them. Offer them the blessing of the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all this week.
Friends, this week, may you persevere in faith, where uncertainties and instability is revealed. May you have the courage to persevere and shift the house of your life more firmly onto the solid rock of Christ as revealed in Scripture and as revealed all around you in a myriad of ways, revealed in the community of Christ's body, revealed in creation that bears witness to the Creator, revealed to you not simply for your consumption, but as a way that you might be transformed and set free to live life more fully and more abundantly. This week, when you see those opportunities before you, may you choose Christ over and over again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.